D-Mace, Vingan, Donick. It is a Thursday morning. Another hot one.
Woo-hoo.
Final day of July. And then August. Yep. Is that my computer? Yes.
That's yours, Willie?
No, that's my phone. What am I doing?
Hey, Willie, what's going on here, man?
I'm breaking down. I'm breaking down.
Just a bunch of old farts, you know,
that would be
technology.
A false start.
Us old guys in this studio don't know how to work our phone.
Yeah. It's called mute. It's called mute. Mute your phone.
Yes, Willie, it is hot as double socks and a pair of Converse high tops in the summertime. That's how hot it is.
Yeah.
That's pretty hot.
That is pretty hot. For those who had to wear double socks and some Converse, Willie, you know about those Converse.
Yeah.
Had no arch support whatsoever.
So you got to have two pairs of socks.
Yeah, you got to have double socks on.
Or the worst for me is I never wore ankle braces.
Uh-huh.
When I got to Vanderbilt, you had to wear ankle braces or tape, either or. And either way, man, that was uncomfortable. And your feet sweat like you would not believe.
You had to get used to it. So that's how hot it is, people. Not quite as funky, but hot.
And so we're moving into August. As Jonathan Hutton put it yesterday, it's like the worst month. You're so excited for football season, but you really have a whole month before you actually get to see real games. You have the preseason games. But, of course, we are all over. We already have a text on our text line. Get it together, Willie. Okay, I got you.
That's like having
message
that,
received.
That's like having that, you know, when you're a teenager. I didn't experience this because I didn't have a car as a teenager. But I know my kids experienced this, and I'm sure yours has as well, Willie. When they're a teenager and you buy that car, and they can't quite drive it yet, but they're watching it. Like, man, I can't wait to drive that thing by myself. It's like, that's how it is, man.
That's how it is.
Like, yeah. That's how football season is. It's so far away, but we can see it. It's like, oh, I wish it would start right now.
Yes.
Do you really wish it would start right now? Because maybe, just maybe, the Titans ain't going to look like a team that is going to win many football games if it started today. Remember, Joe asked the question, hey, the team you feel today, right now, can they win the Super Bowl? And they danced around the question.
Yeah.
So if the season started right now, for all those that want the season, they can see it, taste it, feel it, just know, if it did start today, I'm not sure our Tennessee Titans would be ready to win any football game.
So. That is quite true. In fact, we are going to test the mettle, I think, of all the Titans fans today in the first hour, because we're going to revisit something that we talked about a lot leading up to the draft. And then the decision to draft Cam Ward. And we're not here to say the decision is right or wrong, but we're going to sort of lay it out because it is going to be a question going forward. There is so much riding, and it's not Cam Ward's fault. It's not Cam Ward putting this on himself. This is what the organization chose to do. And as a result, there is so much riding on Cam Ward. We're going to go through it because some of the things we talked about leading up to the draft are worth revisiting now. There's a little lull. There's no media availability for the Titans today. They'll be back on the field tomorrow. We'll be checking that out and have a great Friday show for you. Also, if you missed it, John Robinson had a long sit-down with Chase and Big Joe. And we are putting together some of the highlights of that as we speak. And during our noon hour, you are going to want to hear some of what John Robinson said. There are some areas he couldn't get into, contractually, all of that stuff, but there's plenty there to chew on, and we will talk about it during the noon hour. And Joe Rexroth is going to join us at 1 o'clock. We'll talk a little Titans with him, and also what's going on over in Knoxville as they start their practice with the Boo Carter situation, how they're handling that part of it. Joe will have great insight for us. Also, as we get started, the trade deadline in Major League Baseball is later today. And so if you're a baseball fan, we're not going to break down every trade for you. Don't worry about that, especially if you're not a baseball fan. But if you are a baseball fan or if you're a fantasy baseball player, man, there are some big ones that have just happened since we turned the page to today. Yesterday they were big ones. Mm-hmm. Today the Padres look like they're about to acquire one of the biggest flamethrowers in the game, Mason Miller, maybe the best pitcher that nobody knows about because he pitches for the Athletics in Sacramento at a minor league ballpark. But this is a guy that has been pretty amazing in terms of his velocity. He averages 101 miles per hour on his fastball. So he's a different difference maker. He's only 26 years old. It looks like the Padres are going to acquire him from the A's. And the Padres already have an incredible bullpen. So the Mets acquired some relief pitchers yesterday. The Phillies picked up a closer from the Twins, Duran, yesterday. So the arms race, literally the arms, in the National League, they are loading up the bullpens because it's hard to find enough starting pitchers these days that go past five innings. So you need a ton. You don't have. There's no way you can have enough relief pitchers. So that is going down. And one of the biggest starting pitchers is changing addresses. The Guardians have traded Shane Bieber to the Blue Jays. So the Blue Jays also in a go-for-it mode. They are leading the American League East. It's been a while since they've been this good. Yankees, Red Sox usually rule the roost there. The Rays have been really good. Orioles have had their run the last couple years. And the Blue Jays are looking for a big opportunity. They have traded for Mr. Bieber, Shane Bieber, not to be confused with Biebs, you know, Justin Bieber.
I was about to say, they traded for Justin Bieber, man. Oh, my God.
They look a little different.
They're a little. Justin Bieber, I think, has been clocked at something like 73 miles an hour. With his,
something like that, you know.
Maybe in his car.
I also think he prefers hockey over baseball.
He's more of a. Yeah, but you know what? He is Canadian. I wonder if he is a fan of the Blue Jays. Like, that's the only Canadian team these days. They used to have the Expos, so. I wonder if Justin Bieber has tweeted about Shane Bieber. I'll bet there's a good bet that that will happen before the day is over. That could be an over-under.
They'll definitely meet. Yes. Maybe. Hopefully.
They might. All right. So we'll keep an eye on the trade deadline. There could be some more bombshells with that. It's a light day. There's not a lot of games going on. So we'll keep an eye on it. But one thing I did want to point out, Derek, as we start our conversation about Cam Ward and where he is now, I think we're all locked in now every day on the daily progress of this kid, and it's probably not fair, and he's going to have to get used to the fact that every move he makes is scrutinized. He's in a fishbowl, and if you look back his career at Miami, even though he was a Heisman Trophy kind of guy and was getting that type of attention, I don't think he was playing for a fan base that picks apart every throw. He certainly wasn't at Washington State or Immaculate, right? We know that. Or Incarnate, I'm sorry, not Immaculate. Incarnate Word. making up schools. Yeah. There's probably an Immaculate school somewhere.
Immaculate, Incarnate Word. There we go.
It's the fourth school he was at. He started there before he went to Incarnate Word. Something called Immaculate. But you see what I'm saying? Like, when for Tennessee or you play for Ohio State or Alabama, you get this type of under-the-microscope stuff. Mm-hmm. But I don't think he had that in college, and this is just another thing he's going to have to shoulder is, I think, you know, his stats are out there, right? Mm-hmm. We know that you and I don't think that this means a whole lot in the grand scheme, but everybody in Nashville who cares about the Titans knows that he's completed, what, 56%? He's thrown X interceptions, all of this stuff.
Yeah, and we've discussed this before, and we talked about the J.J. Watt comment, that, listen, you can't look at practice and try to sort of compare it to a game. Practice is just that, practice. Now, do you want your guy going, 7-for-7 or 12-for-12? Yeah, they can script that so that can more than likely happen, but that's not what you want to happen. What you want to do is put him in the most strenuous positions you can possibly put him in. You could put him – it's almost sort of like a stress test. And good thing you brought up this, because earlier on Big Joe and Chasing Big Joe, John Robinson talked about, the stresses that are on – a rookie quarterback, and you just don't understand everything that they have to go through, meaning just the average fan, and sometimes even those that claim to know or do know some things. That position is unique like no other, and it's almost, I want to set you up to fail in practice to see how you handle things and how you handle the stresses and how you can problem solve. Because that's essentially what you're doing as a quarterback. Right. You're problem solving as you're backpedaling. And the minute you take the ball from the center, you are problem solving now. And what do I mean by that? Well, you're trying to solve this. What is the defense doing to us? And how do we proceed down the field? How do we get a big play, or how do we advance down the field? Because the problem is the defense and what they're doing. So you're problem solving. And it takes a special player, period, to be able to problem solve in 2 seconds. Because that's what you got to do. Just think, people, if somebody puts you in front of, you know, basically, I'm not going to go that far as saying you got your finger on the red button and it's saying make a decision right now in 2 seconds. But in sort of reality, that's what it is for a quarterback. You're asking me to make a decision that is either going to hurt or help my team in a matter of 2 seconds.
Right.
And not a lot of guys can do that. So when a rookie quarterback struggles, just think that's what he has. That's what he's processing.
It's normal. He's going through the normal process of moving up to this level.
Yes.
And I guess my question for the day is, can he handle that scrutiny on top of the rigors of just learning how tough it is to play quarterback? So far, I think he's doing really well. Mm-hmm. And I'm not sure if he's the type of guy, because this is going to be important. I heard Peter Skoronski yesterday with Chase and Big Joe. They were asking him about, you know, the scrutiny and, you know, people saying, well, Skoronski, why is he playing guard? And he didn't grade out very well here, and he's not as good as he's supposed to be. They picked him with the 11th pick. He's supposed to be great. And he said, no offense to you guys, I don't listen to any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he sounded very confident, like he's not lying, even though we all kind of say, well, you're not listening?
Uh-huh.
You're not listening?
Somebody's sure you're not listening.
Somebody's getting that back to you. Mm-hmm. You know. But different people can file it away easier. The Maple Leafs. They would be an Ohio State or a University of Tennessee or University of Alabama type of fan base for mm-hmm. hockey. Mitch Marner, who is finally, he's out of there. He is a homegrown Toronto kid who played for the Maple Leafs, made big money, underachieved in the playoffs, and everybody says that knows him well. Elliot Friedman talked about this some on our show, that he had trouble filing that stuff away, the scrutiny that he was under, the pressure that you felt. And I do wonder if Cam Ward is the type that will feel that pressure or completely be able to put it aside. He doesn't have a lot of, you know, sometimes there are players that have other people tweeting on their behalf, like defending them on their behalf mm-hmm. on social media, whether it's, you know, close friends or family members, all the above.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Ward doesn't seem like he's about that, at least so far. But this will be put to the test, I would say.
Yeah, it's going to be because it's almost, well, it's not. I mean, it is. The intense scrutiny has started. Whereas back in the day, it didn't start until the games. You know, it really started when the games were played, whether they were preseason
right.
or regular season. That's when the scrutiny
exactly.
really started, because you understood, like, practice is for. And then a lot of times we were not so the fan base was not so in touch with their team, meaning they didn't see every little thing that was going on unless you were out at practice. Now you don't have to be out at practice because you're reading the headlines.
Yes.
Quarterback went 2 for 8. Quarterback threw 3 interceptions.
And that's even worse for the fans to
exactly.
just see a clip. Yeah.
Exactly. And there's no nuance in it, at least not the title.
Yeah, no context.
No context. And then, because if you're there or if you're watching it, there is context to what the headline is. But I'm sure he understands it. He should have understood it when he got drafted first overall. And people, it was almost like, okay, who's next?
Mm-hmm. I do wonder, too, if they would ever consider closing practice, or at least wondering, hey, are we better off just closing practice with the way that he is under the microscope right mm-hmm. now? Because it's only going to get more scrutiny as you get closer to the season. When we come back, we'll talk more about the Cam Ward issues that dated back, going back before the draft, and the decision so, I guess, with so much conviction that he was the guy. We'll recap our interview with Lewis Riddick. We'll go back through some of the things that we talked about before the draft on this decision and kind of ask, okay, did they make the right decision? Only time will tell. We're just getting started here on DVD. Remember, we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Stay tuned. We're coming back.
I would have taken him. It would have been like, yo, you're going to have to give me all your picks. You're going to have to give me a Mike Ditka-style type draft, Paul, in order for me to move off of this. Because the kid is nothing but he's all football. He's no nonsense. He's an alpha, no leader. And he's got exquisite physical skills for the quarterback position. Is he Jaden? Is he Lamar in terms of running stop? No. But you know what? He don't need to be. Is he Patrick-esque in terms of the way he can run? Yeah, he is. He can run just enough. And you know what? In the playoffs, how many times have you seen Patrick Mahomes and you're sitting there going, damn, Patrick runs better than I thought. It may not look pretty all the time, but he sure is getting that ball down the field. And that's the same thing with Cam. And see, I just love the guy. I love the no-nonsense guy. Because he is not about all that other crap, man. He is not. And he is not someone who will not be intimidated by anyone, vet or rookie, anyone. And the guys down there, I heard Jeffrey Simmons already talking about it. They're talking and chirping at him from one of the first times they got exposed to him. And he's chirping right back. And Callahan's talking about the fact that he's sitting there thinking, damn, does this guy even hear what I'm saying to him? Because he's over there chirping at these dudes. And he's a rookie. And he's playing quarterback. He's different. So, yeah, I can see why they fell in love with him. And I know down at that pro day, when he made that one big throw where he was rolling left on the sideline, I think Borgonzi and them were standing over there, and he ripped the ball probably about 45, 50 yards in the air. I know I can picture that moment and them going, that's our dude, if they hadn't already thought that anyway. So, yeah, would you have been tempted? Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people who are going to say this too. Well, look at the 2026 draft. Look who's coming out. Look at Lenora Sellers down in South Carolina, Drew Aller. Look at these guys. Carson Beck down in Miami again. Like, hey, man, you know, Arch Manning may be coming out. You don't know how the hell those guys are going to be this year. You don't know how that's going to look. You don't know if you're even going to be in position to draft one of them. Take the one. If you believe it, do it. Mike believed it. I would have believed it, too.
That's Lewis Riddick from ESPN on our show. A passionate case for the Titans taking Cam Ward with the first pick in the draft. We all know that they did. But we're stopping today on July 31st to just remind everybody about what the choices were. Because they're all in on Cam Ward now. We know that. They fell in love with Cam Ward long before the draft. And they are going to sink or swim based on how he does. Mm-hmm. Not just this year, but for the next several years.
Moving forward.
We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with the Buzz. It's always about great service. Remember, our phone and text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. So let me just go back through Lewis Riddick's answer, because this is one side of the argument. I think D-Mace still is in Lewis's corner. He has felt this way from the start. And that last line he said, if you believe he's your guy, you take him. Mm-hmm. You take him. He said he would have been tempted to take the picks, but he says, I would have made the pick. He said it would have taken a Mike Ditka-style deal, and the reference was, years and years ago, Mike Ditka was the coach of the Saints, and he and the Saints
gave up every pick.
Every single pick in a draft.
Who does that?
To get Ricky Williams. They traded their whole draft, which included their first-round pick, who ended up being Champ Bailey, for Washington. That's who they
made the
deal
with. Pretty good player.
Yes.
Yeah. And Washington still didn't win any big games because of it, but
no.
Neither did the Saints, I guess, while Ditka was there. So he said they made the decision, that's our dude. They fell in love with the person and the player. Now, I want to give the other side of the argument and just remind people, and we're going to go through this from time to time, of what they passed on. on the day after the draft, Paul Kuharsky had this. He reported this of what the official offer from the New York Giants was for the first pick, which presumably the Giants would have taken Cam Ward because they eventually took Jackson Dart. So you would only think that they were going to take Ward with the first pick. The Giants offered the third overall pick, which they used to select Abdul Carter. They offered the 34th overall pick, so a high second-round pick, plus next year's first-round pick and next year's second-round pick. So that is enormous value that the Titans turned down and said, nope, Cam Ward's our guy. We've made up our mind.
Well, my whole thing has been and will continue to be, whether this works out or not, if you felt he was the guy, you took him. And because my thing is, you knew you had the number one pick months prior to that. So you did whatever, you know, turning of rocks, you know, opening of doors, pulling back everything. You've done every possible thing you can do to make sure the guy that you're drafting, I'm not saying it's not there, there's no flaws in it, because there are. But you've done everything possible to make sure you vetted this thing to the utmost, to make sure that you are drafting a guy that fits your vision of a quarterback. Leadership, everything. So if you did that, this is the new regime. I get it. Brinker's still the supreme lord of football. But I'm going to believe that Borgonzi and Callahan were in control of this. I'm going to believe that. Okay. I may be naive, but I'm going to believe that. So if they did all that work, if that is your guy, I get the picks, Willie. I get it. And everybody else understands the picks. I'm like Lewis Riddick. If you think he's your guy, draft him.
Right. And we've already got a text on our text line, 615-737-1025. So I guess Cam's a bust after two practices. That's not what I'm saying. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just revisiting how much is riding on Cam Ward and how much pressure this kid's going to be under. And we would like to sort of revisit it. Do you still feel good about this decision now? And we'll check back after he has a great preseason game, which I'm sure he will have. He's going to have some moments that people say, wow, that's why they drafted him with the first pick. At least I hope they will. I'm rooting for them I'm rooting for this kid to do well. I want to see the Titans do well, but I'm simply going back through the decision here because you know the article that I referenced going back years for draft philosophy, and it was the guy won a Pulitzer Prize in
business. And I told you can't be bringing guys like here on radio, man.
Their names are Thaler and Massey. This is an article of a study that was done.
They don't belong on airwaves.
They took about 20 Sports. Years of drafts, and they tried to pick through what are the mistakes people make. And a classic mistake over time that they found was the number one pick in the draft is actually the least valuable in the first round, according to the surplus value a team can create with each pick. In other words, what the Giants offered. Instead of one pick, they essentially would have gotten three extra picks plus the third overall pick. Instead, just moving down two spots. And they would have had, presumably, Abdul Carter. We're going to talk about Abdul Carter in a moment because it's very early in his tenure. But there are a couple things we've found out since the draft about Carter. And then the overall philosophy that this study found was that when you trade down in general, you get a much better return on investment because you get more tosses at the draft board. So that was their finding. But what happens is, and this is what they noted, and there's a long, long article about the psychology of this, and it really goes to all sports, is that our human instinct is actually bad. You almost should be more of a computer type. Take the emotions out of it. Because what happened with Cam Ward? They fell in love with the person and the player. Mm-hmm. They were like, this is our guy. This is our guy. And they thought that was more than all of these other picks.
Isn't that what they're supposed to do, fall in love with them? But, you have to.
But time has tested. This is what the study showed, that that's a mistake. That's a mistake more often than not. It may not be a mistake here.
Okay.
But it's like you're at the craps table. Mm-hmm. You're feeling it. All right, I need a seven. I need, and I roll a seven.
Come on, seven with your steak yourself.
I'm so smart. But you know, the analytics people, there's like, well, the studies show here that, you know, if you keep playing this game, you're going to lose, right? Like Vegas with the slot machines. You go into the Vegas, you hit the slots. Hoo-hoo, I'm hot. Let's go. I'm ahead. But time has showed, with all these hotels and casinos they're building in Vegas, if you play the slot machines long enough, you're going to lose. You're going to lose.
Somebody's getting rich and it ain't you.
Right. So there's just a lot. They have narrowed their pathway to success with one shot, and it's Ward. So they've got to roll the dice and hit on Ward.
But
the other way would give you a wider pathway, in my opinion, with all that draft value.
But that doesn't, to me, that doesn't take into account. Because there are nuances to all of this. And I don't know, you know, how nuanced the study was. Or they just went straight analytical and just looked at it straight.
Well, they looked
down
at every draft from, I forget the years, but 2004 to 2016 or something like that.
Football.
I forget what the years were.
Football has changed a lot. I get it. But there's still nothing like, you know, looking at a player and watching him long enough and saying, okay, that's my guy. Because I don't think back then they had all the information to really go in deep. They didn't have all the analytics to go in deep into a quarterback like they used to. So the failure rate was, if you passed up a deal like that, more than likely you were going to fail. But now, because of the analytics that he talks about, you make more of an informed decision.
Okay, that I'll buy that to a degree. Uh-huh. But I still think there are certain things that are still very difficult to know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, a recent guy, like a Bryce Young, you know, hasn't done great. He's not finished yet. You know, there's Anthony Richardson. Like, there's still a lot of guys who I'm sure they had the same kind of thing. This is the guy. This is the guy we want to pick. And it does. The percentages show we did all of the studies of the first overall pick quarterbacks. It's all around the spectrum. You have Hall of Famers like John Elway, and you have complete busts like
Jamarcus Russell.
That's the same. That's the one I was thinking. And then everything in between, like Drew Bledsoe, pretty good. Mm-hmm. You know, Vinny Testaverde, not bad.
Marcus Mariota was okay.
Well, he was second, right? Well, so Jameis Winston was first. Jameis Winston. Okay, not bad, but first overall?
Yes.
Baker Mayfield? More. See, these are all guys you may not have the guy. So, for me, with the emotions out of it, it would have been an easy decision for me to take the picks from the Giants, but you heard Lewis Riddick. He had the same kind of passion. He believes in Cam Ward. So, that's what we're asking our listeners today is, how do you feel about this today? Because when we come back, we'll tell you how Abdul Carter's doing. Because this is what you would have if you're the Titans. What you've passed, you would have Abdul Carter, and you would have an additional second-round pick in addition to Femi Oladejo. So you'd have that player in camp right now. Plus you would have, looking forward, the two picks from the Giants next year. Of course, you would have no quarterback. Right, Brandon Allen, I guess, would be your quarterback. Maybe Will Levis would not have had the surgery.
Yes,
or maybe you would have gone a different direction and gotten another Daniel Jones kind of guy. That's probably what you were looking at. And you would be sitting there rooting for the Giants to lose and saying, you know what, we might have a top 10 pick from the Giants plus a top 10 second round pick. That's what you passed on. So you better hope that Cam Ward is not just good, but really good. So that's what we're asking, 615-737-1025. You still feel good about this right now? We're coming back with more of DVD next. Don't forget, our coverage of Titans training camp is presented by Macero in 12 South, along with Parman Energy Group. That's Macero in 12 South and Parman Energy Group. Our Titans training camp coverage rolls on. We're talking about the decision to take Cam Ward. Where are they now? How are you feeling about it? If you're a Titans fan, 615-737-1025. Part of the equation, as we mentioned, they turned down a deal from the Giants. Forget about maybe what other teams might have been offering. We don't really know. We do know that the Jaguars made the big deal. They gave up a lot to get the second pick to take Travis Hunter. So that might have been on the table had the Titans really shopped around. But it sounded like they were on the record saying, we got our guy. Leading up to the draft, we didn't really do that. The other picks didn't matter, they said. We got Cam Ward. We got our quarterback. They could have had the third pick, Abdul Carter. The Giants' second-round pick this past year. So they would already have another player in the fold that they don't have right now. Plus next year's first and second from the Giants. So let's check on Abdul Carter. What did we talk about a lot with Abdul Carter and the risks of drafting him? Number one, Derek.
Some of the risk?
Yeah. What were the issues? It was pretty obvious,
the foot. I think the foot was the biggest.
The foot and the shoulder,
yeah,
right?
The foot and the shoulder.
Injury issues.
Because there was, oh, he's going to work out, and then he's going to run to, oh, he's not going to work out, to it's the shoulder. It was the foot, because then it was the shoulder. So you kind of left everything sort of vague in a sense. There was this unknown, you know, with people. And, you know, the Giants, obviously, because they couldn't move up. And we don't really know if, well, I guess we do, if the Giants were going to take Cam Ward or were they going to still take Abdul Carter at the one spot? Because they end up taking him, what, third?
They got him third.
Yeah. So
I would assume they were going to get Ward if they were going to trade all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. But it also, I had another friend of mine when I was presenting this yesterday. It was Max Herz, actually. He said, well, at least we know there's another team that thought that much of Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Right? In theory.
Yeah, but I think there
may have. But the Titans weren't on the island thinking that Cam Ward could be the special number one that's worth all of those picks.
See.
And more.
People, I think there were probably teams that wanted to move, but they didn't want to invest that much to move up. Had the Titans given it to them, they would have drafted Cam Ward first overall. I do believe there were probably one or two other teams outside of the Giants, but the Giants probably, Giants the one that are getting the headlines because it was put out there what the Giants offered to move up to that number one spot, and the Titans were not willing. But, you know, listen, whether Abdul Carter works out for the Giants or not, whether it seems like, you know, and his learning curve is different from the quarterback's learning curve. So this is not apples to apples. But, you know, if he goes out there and succeed, that doesn't mean the Titans made the wrong pick. They just need their quarterback to continue to develop and be their starter, and then you kind of go from there.
This is not meant to have the Titans looking back. Like, they're looking ahead. They've made their decision. But for Sports Talk Radio, I think it's important to look at it. Abdul Carter has not had any issues being on the field with the shoulder or the foot. Not yet.
No.
Now, that still could rear itself, right? If he comes up with a bad foot in the next couple of weeks, everybody's going to say, aha. Hey, what are you talking about? So far, here's the headline from Giants camp. Of course, we know about camp. It's all about hope. It's all about hype. Early returns on Abdul Carter. He's going to be great. He's the dude. He's the man. So the Giants are very happy with the way that's gone. Let's get to some phone calls on this. T-Mac is out in Murfreesboro. He's on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. T-Mac.
Okay. I have a few points to make about this. Here's the first thing. The public census was that everyone knew that the Titans was going to take Cam Ward. The Giants knew that. That's the reason why they threw the house at the Titans, because like, if they knew all along they was going to take Abdul Carter, knowing that the public census was that the Titans was going to take Cam Ward, they would have just sat back and sat at that spot that they was at. But that's the reason why they threw the house at the Titans, because they wanted Cam Ward. So, first of all, that goes to show you the value that they saw in Cam Ward. Two, this may be a hot take. I think if the Titans would have took all those picks, it might have set the franchise back even more, because here's why. For one, you know, we're looking at Will Levis' shoulder. he was going to get that. He needed to get that surgery. So we wouldn't have had a quarterback. Callahan would have got fired because we don't have a quarterback. So that would have set us back. And then we would have took one of these second-rate quarterbacks, and no disrespect to Will Levis or a Malik Willis, but we've seen taking quarterbacks in the second and third round. We would have took one of these Quinn Ewers or Jalen Miro type of guys, and we would have tried to see what they can bring, and we wouldn't even know that till this year or next year. So that would have set us back like 2-3 more years because we would be back into picking a quarterback spot again in about 2-3 more years because one of these second-rate quarterbacks wouldn't do it. And then I'll say this last thing. I think Cam Ward is the guy. I think they did make the right decision because here's why. Being in his interceptions are so frequent, once he figures it out, he's going to be good. If his interceptions were more spread out and sporadic, then we might have an issue. But basically what this lets us know is that this is something that he's trying to figure out, and we know that he has the mental makeup to figure it out. And once he figures it out, he's going to be good. So I'll hang up and listen.
All right, T-Mac, that's good. I mean, there's a lot of details. He's okay with the decision. I don't know that Will Levis would have been – I think they knew about the shoulder. I think they would have figured out something at quarterback, but either way – it wouldn't have been about this year if you made that move to take the pick. So I'm just going to play the other side. The 34th pick, which was the pick that the Titans, in theory, would have got if they'd taken the deal, was used eventually by the Texans, who traded with the Giants for that pick, and took Jaden Higgins. So what you would have maybe, so Jaden Higgins is a wide receiver from Iowa State. So in theory, you could have one more young wide receiver in the fold, if that's the direction you want. But there would be other players they could have used that for. Mm-hmm. So that we shouldn't overlook how valuable that second round pick could have been.
Yeah, I mean, yes.
What's the faster way to have the roster?
That's the dilemma, and that's what, you know, the caller was sort of explaining. Is it, you know, because you got and I said this before, you have two roads. You believe that both roads are good ones, but how do we get to our destination faster? Is it with trading away the pick, trading away the first overall, getting the picks and kind of building that way and hoping that you can manage the quarterback position for at least another year or possibly two to get your guy and he develops? You can do it that way. It may take a little longer. Or you can do it by drafting your quarterback and developing him and hoping that, like C.J. Stroud, you know, like Jaden Daniels, even, you know, Drake May had his successes. Even though his team wasn't successful, he played well within it. So when you have stuff like, you just got to make a decision. Do I take the quarterback and he make me get me there faster, or do I take sort of the long building route?
Yep, we're gonna be checking on this path.
Yeah.
We're gonna be checking on this path. We got a lot of people on the text line, 615-737-1025. We'll continue this into the second hour. Let me get to Stan real quick on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Stan, what do you think?
Stan? Well, this is the very – hello, are you there?
Yep, yes. We got you.
This is the very unfair early analysis, but he is the number one overall pick, so I don't think it's too unfair. But I went back and looked at the Washington Press early in Jaden Daniels' training camp career, just kind of reading what they were saying about him. And, you know, how many interceptions did he throw? What was the team saying about him? How is he absorbing the offense? Blah, blah, blah. So comparing the two may be unfair, but Jaden Daniels was the third overall pick, I believe. So having said all that, absolutely the Titans made a mistake and should have aggregated all those picks and rolled the dice on the quarterback and said, you know what, we don't have a legitimate number one quarterback this year. He's not number one. He's not as good as Jaden Daniels. Should not have done it. Should have gotten more inventory on better players, plural. And so that's my early unfair assessment. Thank you.
Okay, Sam, thanks. unfair is mm-hmm. is really not, because we're only, this is just a marker along the path, right? We're just looking at both paths, and we'll continue to do this. And I just think one path is more narrow than the other in how you get to success, which is building a contender. So we have a lot of people that want to weigh in on this, because this was a huge decision that they made that I really thought was downplayed and not really challenged at the time. It was kind of just taken as a, okay, you got your quarterback. Well, we'll find out if they have the quarterback, and they may well have the quarterback. But I'm looking at the alternatives and how it's playing out. 615-737-1025. We'll continue on with this. Also, during the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to play you some excerpts from John Robinson's conversation with Chase and Big Joe. Really good stuff. The former GM for the Titans. And we'll look at another big decision that the organization made. That was the trade of A.J. Brown. So John Robinson had some interesting insights on that. Stay tuned. Hour number two of DVD is coming up.